Teenagers can be hard to read, and they can seem impossible if you're trying to get them to open up. But there's this group of students down at Bridges High School who agreed to share their stories and their opinions, not only with a bunch of adult strangers, but also on tape.
I feel like my superpower is being able to make everybody comfortable, be there for you even if we only have like 2 days of knowing each other.
I would say my superpower is learning. I'm really good at like learning new things, and I really enjoy teaching also.
For their capstone projects this year, 10 students from Bridges are participating in a documentary project organized by the local nonprofit Voices in conjunction with Five Point Film Festival. Exactly how this program was such a success and how the producers, educators, and artists encouraged students to share who they were and what they love came down to a small number of critical factors. You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, where we highlight student projects and issues relevant to the Western Slope of Colorado. I'm your host, Hallie Zander. And this group of students knows that when they talk about their school and their student body, it comes with a specific reputation.
Our school, and this is only my second year here.
This really is Adam Carbalera, affectionately known by most as Carb. He's been teaching at Bridges now for a few years.
And I came here because I saw so many kids at Fork who I connected with, but they just couldn't survive the workload of having 8 classes and all this homework, and they self-starter. So most kids, when they come to Bridges, have faced a failure or a challenge that tore them down a little bit. And so one of the things we're trying to do is build them back up, right? And to realize that just because you have failed doesn't mean you're a failure. You know, just because you have struggled doesn't mean you're always going to struggle, or that that's just your life, right? Like, you can use the difficult things that you've survived to your advantage if you like make them part of your story and project that into the world. You can own that and have it actually propel you forward.
Each student who walks through the front doors of Bridges High School has a fascinating story to tell about defeat and resilience, but they don't always see it that way.
You know, I've faced this with a few different subjects of films who think that their story doesn't matter, or there's nothing significant or of value with their story.
And this is Lindsay Hagen, a producer for the Five Point Film Festival.
And I think when you give someone the time to share their story, and for the sake of just sharing and listening, I think we realize as listeners and participants in storytelling that every story is valid, every story has value. And if it's worth sharing, then it's worth being heard. And that was something I really took away from this experience. Every single one of these students has really remarkable perspective, and their ability to listen, was equally as impressive. And I think, yeah, that's something I hope they carry with them.
Lindsay helped produce the documentary, but all of the film was collected by the students with the help of some dedicated teachers. The goal was to get them to open up about themselves through film. As an educator myself, I imagined lessons on camera angles, story structure, and creating tension in a narrative. Since these are some of the things that make a good film, I assumed they'd be part of the curriculum. But when I visited the classroom, that is not what I saw.
And when I came into your classroom, it was so clear that the activities you were doing weren't focused around building narratives, or which you might have done on another day. But when I got there, it was, okay, stand up here in front of the class and wait for people to give you compliments. And at first I was like, am I in the right classroom? Like, where's the camera film? Like, it became clear that there was a major priority on building community within these students and building comfort and fostering that self-expression, or they would be willing to go home and create things that were honest about themselves.
I don't consider myself to have a superpower, but I have something that helps me feel like I have a superpower. I use healing crystals a lot. Like this one right here, for example, is called Amazonite, the stone of truth. That just helps me.
I spoke with the film's producer, Lindsay Hagen, as well as the cinematographer, Chris Nam, to get an idea of what kind of tape they were receiving from the students.
Yeah, and you know, given some of the circumstances with COVID, yes, we weren't able to get as much FaceTime with the students as we would have liked, but you know, it created space for us to truly have the camera serve as this lens, like walking in their shoes. So we get to see a lot of the worlds that these students are living in and how they're spending their time. And because we didn't get so much of the camera on them, we heard a lot of their voices, which is part of, you know, of what Voices is here for, is amplifying the voices of their students. And what was really remarkable is these students' teacher, Carb, he was able to have these really intimate interviews with his students that a teacher would never typically organically have in the classroom. But once you put your teacher in this director role, which he was playing because he was in person with the students, they had this amazing, really, you know, emotive, visceral storytelling moments. And they really opened up with him. And you could tell that it was a really special dynamic that he had with his students. And, you know, I kind of wish this was a practice that more classes implemented, because it was a really unique bond to see in action.
And Lindsay was absolutely right. As I roamed around Bridges interviewing students about the experience, unprompted, they wanted to tell me about their gratitude for Carb.
I think Carb was really freaking cool in the whole process of it. Like, I don't know. It wasn't like trying to like troop, like super like push you to like send things. He was just like, kind of like,
come on.
Like actually like cared about like your project and like what you were actually like passionate about.
Like he would get up and he would help us. He'd be like, come on, let's go. I'll video you. Like he'd encourage us instead of like force us to do it.
He was like just as passionate, like if not more passionate about our projects than we were.
Yeah.
He really wanted to
see. We were like really in it. And then he was like, I want to see it.
Yeah.
So let's do this.
And when I asked them to point me in his direction, they responded with this loving greeting.
Okay, thank you all so much, and have an awesome day. If Carb's around, can you send him over here?
Carb!
That was amazing in unison.
Knowing that their teacher really cared about their stories and their passions brought an entirely new type of vulnerability to the table. This and the starvation of connection students have experienced since COVID-19, this editing team got to witness some incredible transformations.
We're still digging through all the footage, so we're seeing what surfaces. But there's a lot of peeling back of the layers, I think, that these students are doing and have had to do at an accelerated rate because of COVID. You know, one of the students spoke about how he used to always just wear dark colors and sweatshirts and kind of like conceal his identity, you know, throughout this process. And since COVID, it sounds like he started to like disrobe those layers that were kind of hiding who he was. And he spoke about it in such a beautifully symbolic way. And now he's a DJ and he's like fully expressing himself. He's wearing bright colors, like bright tie-dye headbands. So in a weird way, I think like this isolation and separateness that we're experiencing has actually like forced some of these students to come out of their shell even more. And at least that's what we saw with a lot of them. Like they were willing to go deep and have really reflective moments as a result. So maybe it's just because we all want some closeness now.
The student they are talking about is Matt, and he agrees.
Well, yeah, I also have changed like a drastic amount in just this past year. So the person that these people know me as is a lot different than the person I am today. So it literally just happened like throughout the quarantine. So I came back and now I'm new, pretty much, yeah.
He even played us some of his original music after class. This program is uniquely feasible during the COVID-19 pandemic. Students can't gather in theaters to watch musicals and other performances. So in an attempt to adapt, the teachers have discovered how accessible film can really be.
Of people working together, and we started this particular project online.
This is Cassidy Wiley, a program developer and teaching artist with Voices.
To finish up the project, which was really exciting. And instead of presenting a theater program, our final product will be a film, which is great because it can actually reach potentially a lot more of an audience, a lot wider of an audience.
I don't think I've worked with high schoolers in this way before. And I think it's really cool now, especially because everybody with, you know, smartphones and with all these different social media apps that they have access to, everyone's kind of like a filmmaker and is always recording their story in some way, shape, or form. And I think it's a language that we don't realize we understand, especially because we all have cameras now. But being able to kind of go behind the veil of like, what is that process like when you point a camera, and like, what is it that you're actually saying with that? And when you put those things together, what is the final message of all these images in succession? I think it's just an important language to understand better when you always have a camera in your hands, basically. And I think that they did an amazing job at developing that.
Yeah, I would just second that by saying we just helped break down a process that these students are already very familiar with. And, you know, our hope at the very least is to empower them so that they know, you know, they are valued storytellers. Everything they put out, if they put it out with intention and a keen eye, you know, they have the power to shift the narrative and really be intentional about the stories that they share, because we're surrounded by it. We are all storytellers. We all have access to a phone, like Chris mentioned. And, you know, what you put out is very much a reflection of you and how you're going to participate and engage with that digital landscape. So our hope is that they just feel empowered to share their story and have the skills to do so.
But COVID-19, a dedicated teacher, and the opportunity to be a part of a documentary are not really enough reasons for high school students to bare their souls while being recorded. That's why I didn't walk into the classroom and see them talking about film as an engaging form of media. I didn't see them watching other documentaries and taking notes on the cinematography. In fact, most of their class time had nothing to do with capturing the perfect tape or building the most riveting narratives. That all came naturally after the teachers focused on something else.
You want to tell me what it says on the board before she erases it?
So we have Matt's silhouette on the board and some adjectives that his classmates and the other teaching artists wrote are uplifting spirit, his creativeness, I guess, emerging. Black, because he wears a lot of black, unapologetically himself, his willingness to try new things, happy or neat as well, his attitude, respect.
This is Art Williams, one of the fabulous teaching artists in the Voices program and a dear friend of mine. The day I decided to step into the Voices project at Bridges, I asked Art to read off of the whiteboard at the front of the classroom. At this point, Cassidy was leading an activity where students stood in front of the projector and had their silhouettes drawn by their classmates.
You guys are each going to come up to Matt's silhouette, and Matt, you're going to stay there while they're, while they're up there. You don't have to keep your arms up the whole time. But you're going to write one thing that you respect or admire about Matt.
So the students stood at the front of the classroom, had their bodies traced by a classmate, and then waited in the hall while the rest wrote positive attributes about them. And they all seemed pretty shocked by the positive feedback.
I'm going to interrupt you two for a second. What was it like to come back in and see those things on the wall written about you?
It was a little shocking, because, not shocking, just surprising, because I wasn't expecting to see such, like, detailed things. Like, I was just expecting to see like nice, hardworking, happy stuff like that, but those are actually really in detail, and it meant a lot to see that.
Yeah. What were the things that stood out to you that really meant something to you?
The always gives off positive energy, just like how highly people thought of me. Yeah, because I don't know very many people here very well, so it seemed like they knew who I was pretty well based off of the things that they wrote down, because that's what I would have described myself as.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool to see.
I wanted to know what it was like when you came back into the room and saw all those nice things about you on the wall.
It was pretty inspiring, I guess, because I don't talk to any of these people, as you can see. So I didn't think they were going to really put anything, but they actually put a lot of things, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That they just, like, the things that they wrote down is just from looking at me, not really talking to me.
Oh,
really? So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like when I said healthy and stuff like that, I guess it was, they're right. I'm just starting to get healthy again.
What makes you feel healthy nowadays? What kind of things do you do?
Just like putting myself first.
Can you tell me what it was like when you walked back in and saw all those nice things about you on the board?
I didn't like realize that's what like people thought about me.
Did you
like, because I don't really like talk to anyone, so I didn't. Like, I really don't have an opinion about like people I don't talk about. So like, I expect the same from other people, and I didn't realize like people like thought that about me.
Yeah. Coming back in and hearing, seeing all those lovely things about you.
I felt really happy that that's how people viewed me. I mean, I was a completely different person last year, and I kind of put off a more, like, scary, like, I'm kind of mean vibe, and when I saw those, like, positive things up there that I was super nice and kind-hearted, it made me really happy because that's who I, like, try to be.
The students all seemed really surprised that their peers knew them so well. But if most of the classes were like this one, I'm not surprised that the students are getting to know each other. Despite transitioning between remote and in-person learning, most of their curriculum includes activities designed specifically for them to open up their minds and understand each other better.
I remember a couple moments in particular when we were back in person. We played a really silly game of would you rather. And we were just out in a field and it was, would you rather have scales or feathers? And then everyone would run to the side, or would you? And really silly questions that weren't incredibly thought-provoking, weren't incredibly deep questions, but were questions that just encouraged silliness and play and freedom. And I think seeing people run around and switch sides and then see their best friend on the other side and say, what, really, that's where you would go? And then see someone next to them who they've never talked to before sharing this idea. I think that was a fun icebreaker exercise, if you will.
This was a popular activity, mentioned and applauded by almost everyone I interviewed, including the students. And there was a definitive strategy behind these community building lesson plans.
But to see them working and collaborating with one another, respecting one another, and it just feels like respect is really radical in these times. And it was very cool to create a space that students felt like they belonged, even though they recognized that they had some pretty extreme differences in some cases, and that they could just work together and joke together, I think was one of the greatest aspects of this project. So our hope is to weave together a tapestry of these snippets of each of these students' lives into a greater picture of who they are as people, of who we are as a community, as a town, as Bridges, as a school.
I love that phrase. I think it really taps into something going on in our greater society about this idea that respect is radical. What do you think about this project was able to get these kids to laugh together and get these kids to begin respecting each other beyond, I guess, what is expected of them right now?
Well, from my perspective, I'm a theater artist. I do a lot of improv theater. I love comedy, I love physical comedy, I love play, and I love play as a tool. I think it's one of the most important things we can do as humans, especially adult humans, because I think we forget how to play. And kids, even high school kids, are so much closer to that. whether or not they always want to recognize it. And I think that anytime that you can encourage groups of people to laugh together, to play together, to be silly and goofy and encourage that non-judgment, you start to see cracks in this armor be revealed.
This type of lighthearted play, especially in a school setting, was one of the final missing ingredients, getting the students to let go.
You know, at first, kids didn't want to talk about themselves. And I think that's why, right? Because that vulnerability and they're hurt. It's like, it's harder when they're still in it, you know? It's like they haven't got through it yet, so.
But once they felt comfortable, they didn't hold back.
You know, I think Cassidy and those guys did a good job of kind of creating, well, just tell us about something that you love, you know? Talk about what you're interested in. You don't have to talk about yourself. We kind of made that mistake because the original set of questions that we gave them was all about yourself. It was like they were all the most vulnerable questions that you or I or like most adults would like love to talk about, you know? But they were really kind of thrown by that. So then we sort of switched it to like, just tell us what you care about, what you like, what makes you light up. And then once they started talking about that, then they were like suddenly more willing to talk about their own story and how they got there and that kind of thing. So there is a real delicate art to getting people to open up and to realize that their stories are valuable.
And to prove to you that it worked, here are some of the students talking about what they love. You can even hear their peers chiming in with pride for their friends.
I mainly just enjoyed being by myself or working on my truck with my cousin. When I was 14, I bought a 1977 Ford F-250 Super Cab Custom.
Wow, and so you've been fixing it up over the years?
Yeah, like it all, like it, first time I bought it, like it started right away, but like I've just been like improving the motor and stuff, but it's kind of just for Capstone. I did like little things to it just to like make it sound good and faster. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like a longer term project, like over maybe like 10 years or something, to where I'll actually get different paint and like everything I really want to it in custom.
It seems like you're also really interested in crystals. What got you into that?
So my mom actually was the first one who introduced me to them, but I was really, really resistant to her for a while. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, suddenly I became more interested in them once I figured out that they were actually really cool. And Matt also influenced me into getting into them because, you know, he kind of like took down that resistance against them for me. Mm-hmm. Because once he was like, oh, right, the crystals actually do this for you, I was like, huh. And then I started to look more into it, and now I'm obsessed with them and I love them.
I tumble like I'm a cheerleader, so.
Oh my gosh, what's like the craziest move that you can do?
Backflip. It's pretty insane. She like goes backwards.
You a backflip?
Yeah, she like goes like.
Just like from the ground, not even with a trampoline, like just.
Yeah.
She like does like a walkie thing backwards.
Like I could.
She like runs and then she like does like this little thing that you see like really like fit people do. They go like hands, feet, and then like in the air, like does a little backflip and then like land.
The finished film has not been set for a public release yet, but Cassidy explains here why she thinks it's important for our community to tune in when it does.
I think it's important that we recognize that young people are such a vibrant, integral part of our community. And I think often, especially with high schoolers, there's a disconnect of high schoolers from the broader community in a lot of senses, or people that are afraid of high schoolers or just don't know any high schoolers. And something that gave me so much hope is that the young people we were working with were born shortly after 9/11 and are finishing their high school experience in the era of this pandemic. And yet they are so resilient and they're hopeful and they're excited about the future. They're not jaded. These young people have ideas and they're excited to get out into the world and see everything that it has to offer. And I think that hope is so yummy. It's so contagious that I think anyone watching this project will feel uplifted from that. These kids have big, big hearts and big dreams. And I think that is really inspiring.
Chris, Lindsay, and Carb have some final words for the students in this program, which proves to be prudent advice for all students.
Keep sharing your stories. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I would say this isn't just like a lesson in storytelling for high school seniors. It's kind of a moment for self-reflection for all of us during this time. And just being mindful of, you know, who listening and being mindful of other people's stories.
And hopefully we get to do it again.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things the kids learned was that the reason that that it's worth your time to open up and to tell your story is not because we want to interrogate you, but it's because you could really help somebody else who's going through that thing, you know? And I think once they saw that this isn't about you getting me to tell my secrets, it's about me having a chance to use what I've been through to inspire someone else. And that's where like the film piece came in, because once they saw the little sample, you know, that Chris made halfway through, they realized that like, oh my God, like there's this other paradox, which is when you talk about your struggles, you appear very strong to the audience, you know? Whereas I think what they learn in a lot of the media that they consume is like, you have to talk about like how tough you are to appear tough. But actually when you talk about how tough you are, you appear weak. And when you talk about your struggles, you appear strong. So
thanks for listening to this week's Public Affairs Show with the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. I'm Hallie Zander. Please enjoy this music composed by Matt McComb, a senior at Bridges High School and participant in the Voices and 5-Point documentary project. Yeah.